Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
I didn't march 1 yard, 1 foot for the same sex to get married, and they're taking wrong and making it right, and taking right, making it wrong.
Those of us who are inspired by Judeo-Christian values, we're not seeking to sit in judgment of anyone, but we know that there are fundamental truths proven through thousands of years of human history.
I refer to Joel Osteen's theology of the tyranny of positive thinking, where everybody must say positive things and think positive thoughts in order to be blessed by God.
That's the difference between preaching about Christ, where you basically just cut him apart and use him however you see fit, versus preaching Christ.
Pro Football Hall of Fame wives, love issues, etc.
I shouldn't have been surprised, but I have to admit I was. Late last week, I was watching the evening news. I saw, with sound muted, the scroll at the bottom of the screen, a little something about 4 same-sex marriage licenses being issued in St. Louis. I live near St. Louis to get their local news. And I thought to myself, well, I'm pretty sure that Missouri has a ban on same-sex marriage. It's been in place, golly, for a number of years. What was going on here? It's quite true. There's the headline, St. Louis challenges Missouri's ban on gay marriage, the news from late last week. Is this just more from the same playbook that we've watched in state after state as the same-sex marriage advocates have moved across the country trying to overturn bans like the one that is in place? Still in place, yes, in Missouri. We're going to be talking about that and another story, an appellate court ruling against Utah's gay marriage ban, with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Welcome back. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, the healing of Naaman the Syrian, in 2 Kings chapter 5. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is a regular guest. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
I'm wondering, this move to actually, while the ban is in place, issue the licenses, then later the couples who had the licenses in hand went to the St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay's office and were married by a priest, a rabbi, and some other clergyman. Is this pretty standard playbook stuff for the advocates of same-sex marriage?
Well, it reminds me of Gavin Newsom marrying people in the city of San Francisco under his authority as the mayor. And that was one of the things that triggered a whole sequence of events that ultimately led to Prop 8 and so on. But there was a ban against same-sex couples receiving marriage licenses even then in California. So yes, this is the same playbook, but there are actually multiple playbooks going now. I mean, one is to basically create a fait accompli by having a marriage and you know, standing in your face and saying, okay, what are you going to do about this marriage license? That's one playbook. The other kind of playbook is to say, we realize that the voters of your state passed a constitutional amendment by a wide margin, but now, given what the Supreme Court has said in the Windsor case last summer, literally a year ago, almost to the day, given that ruling, we think it doesn't pass federal constitutional muster, so we're going to go around state by state and overturn the various marriage amendments that are out there. So this is one prong of a multiple-pronged approach to get the courts to impose genderless marriage on the whole country.
I mean, we're talking about lawmakers and elected officials here. The mayor of St. Louis, Francis Slay, involved in this to some degree, paid employees of St. Louis who are issuing these licenses, knowing full well that the ban is in place. What are they saying besides, we just think the law is wrong? This appears to me as though it's hard for me to say that an elected official could act against his state's constitution and justify it.
gosh, Todd, where have you been all these years? They've been doing that consistently with respect to this issue. I mean, you know, Jerry Brown and Kamala Harris had the constitutional responsibility to defend the laws of the state of California. Proposition 8 was a validly elected law. They were supposed to have defended it. They refused to defend it. That's a violation of their oath to uphold the Constitution. You know, what can I say? This is par for the course. I'm sorry to shock you, Todd. You need to get out more, brother.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe you should just stay home and crawl into the bed and forget about it. You know, Todd. But I mean, this is what's going on out there. I'm sorry to be the one to shock you.
Now, one of the things that Mayor Slay actually said to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the paper of record in this area, he said that the city officials issued these marriages license, and I want your evaluation of this. He said to force this issue to get the law settled, whether Missouri's gay marriage ban is legal. It doesn't sound like they're trying to settle anything. It sounds like they're trying to create a situation that presupposes that it's unconstitutional.
Yes, that's right. I mean, they're not, in their minds, it's already settled. In their minds, they have already redefined marriage, Todd. And so what they're trying to do is to make the black letter law catch up with the reconstitution of marriage that they've already performed in their minds. And, you know, as you and I have talked about before on this program, I think it's well to review for your listeners the way in which people have redefined marriage in their minds. I mean, first of all, people believe there's no difference between men and women. That's now the newest thing that you'll see all over the place, all over the internet. There's all kinds of, you know, new material pushing in that direction, that there's literally no difference between men and women. So if you believe that, then of course, having a gender requirement for marriage doesn't matter. We believe already that marriage is basically about adults and their needs and their feelings and not at all about children. Children are really incidental to marriage. And so the way in which redefining marriage to be a genderless institution will require us to redefine parenthood, the impact that might have on children. People have already decided that that's not something they care about. You know, we're not even thinking about that. And then finally, people have already decided that sex is basically a recreational activity with no moral or social significance, and basically it's sterile, it's a sterile activity. So, you know, if you already think that sex has nothing to do with procreation, then what difference could it possibly make to involve gay couples in socially sanctioned sex through the institution of marriage? You know, it's no different at all. So people have mentally already redefined marriage, and so they're trying to get the wheels of the state to catch up with their mental reconstruction here. The problem is all of those premises of redefined marriage are all false. Men and women actually are different. Children actually do need something from marriage, and so it has to be more about children than about adults. And sex actually does make babies. I hate to upset people by mentioning that on the air, too, but sex does make babies. And so, therefore, society does. That's the only reason society has some interest in what kind of sexual activity people get involved in. So that's why we are where we are, Todd. And so these what looks like you know, sort of extra legal shenanigans on the part of the mayor of St. Louis, it, when you view it in this light, it makes perfect sense what he's doing. You know, they think they're just getting the statutes and the Constitution and everything to line up behind the mental construct that they've already got going in their minds. And what they don't realize, and what people at large don't realize, is that they're redefining the whole purpose of the state as well as redefining the purpose of marriage. Now the business of the state is to give adults the sexual activities they want with a minimum of inconvenience. That's the purpose of the state now. And, you know, however you might define convenience or inconvenience, the state is now ready to help you work that out so that you can have the sex lives you want.
Are they also redefining the role of the electorate in how we do our laws and our politics? Because that Missouri statute passed with 70% approval when it passed.
That's right. That's right. The role of the electorate now is to sit down and shut up, basically. That's the meaning of what was done in Utah through the Tenth Circuit. And that's the meaning of what's happening here. And that's what they did to us last year when they allowed the Prop 8 challenge to stand and said that the proponents didn't have any standing to defend their electoral results. Yep, our role is to sit down and shut up and just take what we're given.
Now, when the U.S. Supreme Court, moving to the Utah issue, when the U.S. Supreme Court did strike down part of the Defense of Marriage Act a year ago, you mentioned that case a moment ago, it did not say that states can't, I'm sorry for all my negatives here, but it did not say that states can't ban gay marriage. But what's happened in Utah?
Well, you know, the Windsor decision had within it all of the elements that would be needed to create a nationwide ban on any gender requirement for marriage. So it didn't come out and say, okay, we're going to have gay marriage everywhere because the Constitution says so. It didn't do that. So it wasn't the Roe v. Wade of marriage. But what it did do was put all the elements in place that would be needed for future court cases to do that. And so that's why the gay activists are going from state to state to state and overturning these different marriage laws that the states have put into place by the electorates, just overturning them one by one. So what they gave with one hand, they took away with the other hand. And, you know, honestly, not many of us were fooled a year ago. You know, most of us looked at this and said, you know, this is it's not Roe v. Wade for marriage, but it's a slow-moving, rolling Roe v. Wade for marriage without even giving us the dignity of one date that we could, all march and protest and say, that's the day they did this to us. You know, it has this pretense at being subtle, but actually there's nothing subtle about it.
Does last Wednesday's ruling by the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals there in Denver, does it, in essence, force the hand of the U.S. Supreme Court? Does the U.S. Supreme Court, from this point on, should they set or are they going to hear a case on this, whether they want to or not?
You know, that's a good question, Todd. I've talked to a number of people, you know, kind of off the record, people who are following this. And of course, as you know, and as your listeners know, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't want to overstate my expertise. But what I'm hearing from people is that one way or the other, there will be a case next year. And by this time next year, it'll be all over. That the Supreme Court will take some case and will make some kind of ruling. And whether it's a case that will come up because there's some kind of division of opinion within a case or some kind of conflict between states at comparable levels or something, I can't predict that. But I think there will be a case, and I think it will go that the whole country will be having genderless marriage by this time next year. That's my prognostication.
Do you base that prediction on what was said last year in the Windsor case with regard to same-sex marriage by the swing vote?
Yeah, pretty much all the pieces were in place there, and then just watching the parade of case law coming down the pike here with really very little attention to evidence, really. Very little attention to the voters, just, putting this construct, this social construct of marriage as a genderless institution, just promoting that. Of course, that has to be promoted by government because that's not something that can ever arise in any kind of organic, natural way because men and women have bodies and their bodies are different and men and women are aware that they're different. The fact that there are some people who have same-sex attraction or who have gender identity issues or anything like that does not change the basic fact that we procreate through men and women, and that men and women are different and all of that. And so in order to claim that the institution that connects the generations to each other is henceforth going to be a genderless institution, in order to do that, that cannot arise organically. That has got to be imposed by the state at some level or another. And in our case, it's being imposed by the judiciary, and it will be implemented by thousands of town clerks all over the place who are solemnizing marriages, who are recording births in different ways, you know, who are putting three parents on birth certificates, who are basically falsifying birth certificates. It's going to be normal now to falsify birth certificates by putting intended parents on the birth certificate rather than biological parents. And that's something that, you know, for a long time, adoption rights advocates have been yelling about, you know, hey, we get that adoption is sometimes necessary, but honestly, couldn't we have a true birth certificate somewhere? Couldn't we somewhere, somehow, know our actual origins? And there has been a trend in openness towards adoption, you know, and having open adoptions rather than sealing all the records. Well, now we're scurrying off in the opposite direction, saying that the intended parents shall have more legal rights than the donors, whoever they might be. Any conflict between the natural parent and the intended parents, the state will take sides with the intended parents as against the natural parent. That's what is coming down the pike. That's what same-sex marriage is going to mean. That's what it has always meant, and that's what we'll be dealing with soon. And so, you know, at the Ruth Institute, we're very concerned about the ways in which people have been lied to consistently by the sexual revolution, and we hope that your listeners will join us. Come over, sign up for our newsletter. Come over, like us on Facebook. Get involved with what we're doing, because we're the ones who are sticking up for the rights of the children and for the rights of people who are being systematically lied to by their government. And we need all of your Lutheran Public Radio listeners to be involved with what we're doing, because this is going to be a big job. It's going to need a big social movement to overcome the ill effects of what's going on here today, Todd.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, keep up the good work.
Thanks a million, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker on this Monday afternoon, June the 30th. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 5, the healing of Naaman, the Syrian. Pastor Tom Baker with us to walk us through a story that is as much about baptism as it is about healing from leprosy. Stay tuned. What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Heinz. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at issuesetc.org.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will present the inaugural Village Lutheran Lecture on Christianity and Culture July 19th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Village Lutheran Church, Ladue, Missouri. Her topic will be Tales from the Front, Religious Liberty and the Media, July 19th, 9 to 11 a.m. at Village Lutheran Church, 9237 Clayton Road in Ladue, Missouri. We invite you to join us for this free and highly beneficial opportunity.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're in a small parish, you know how difficult it can be to find an organist when your musician is sick, has a family emergency, or simply wants a week off to visit the grandkids. Church Music Solutions can help. Our substitute organist service allows you to select your hymns and liturgy to be sent to an iPad that plays your church's organ. The best way to learn more is to log on to churchmusicsolutions.com and request a free demo kit. There are no obligations and there's no sales pitch. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.